Take your Bibles, please. I invite you to turn to Acts chapter 16. Acts chapter 16. Our text verses, verses 19 through 34. Acts chapter, find your place there. Then we'll read those verses. You follow as I read them, beginning with verse 19. The title of the message today is At Midnight. At Midnight. And I think you'll see what we're referring to as we read these verses. This is, of course, an occasion in the Apostle Paul's life, beginning with verse 19, Acts 16. And when her master saw that the hope of her gains were gone, they caught Paul and Silas and drew them into the marketplace unto the rulers and brought them to the magistrate, saying, These men, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our city. All they were doing was preaching the gospel. And, you know, it's strange how people don't like people who really just want to get the gospel out. And they want to share and preach the gospel. But they were doing that and having results. And verse 21 said, And they teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe, being Romans. And the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates rent off their clothes, tore their clothes off, and commanded to beat them. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely, who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's bands were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awaking out of his sleep and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, Do thyself no harm, for we are all here. And he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, Sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said, Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house. And they spake unto him the word of the Lord and to all that were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes and was baptized, he and all his straightway. And when he had brought them into his house, he set meat before them and rejoiced, believing in God with all his house. Now go back to verse 25 as our main text verse. The scripture says, And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Our Father, we ask you to bless in this hour the preaching of the Word of God. I pray for your anointing power. I pray that you would take me as an earthen vessel and through the power and presence of the Holy Spirit use me to minister to the hearts and minds of these that are assembled here today. Lord, we know your Word is powerful and we're asking that the Holy Spirit would quicken our hearts. If there are those here who do not know Christ, I pray today they would receive Christ. I pray for every believer that you would help them. And I pray especially for those who are going through some dark hours during this time that you would encourage them. Thank you for the Bible. And thank you, dear God, for the privilege of preaching the authoritative Word of God. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Now, Paul was involved in church planting. I believe every church ought to be involved in doing that, and we need to be more involved in seeing churches started. And they did it with a very simple method, and that was they went out and preached the gospel of Jesus Christ. By the way, it worked then, and it still works right now. Look in chapter 16, verse 9. They had a mandate from God. The Bible says, And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, Come over into Macedonia and help us. God was leading and working in his life. Look at verse 12. And from thence to Philippi, which is the chief city of that part of Macedonia, and a colony, and we were in that city abiding certain days. Now, they were not just lollygagging around. They were there with a purpose. Now look at verse 16. And it came to pass, as we went to prayer, a certain damsel, possessed with a spirit of divination, a demon, met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. Here was a lost woman that was bringing a lot of gain to the men that owned her, much like a prostitute of the streets to a pimp. This woman was a prostitute to the truth, and she was controlled by demons and that power. Verse 19, and when her masters saw that the hope of their gains was gone, they caught Paul and Silas and drew them into the marketplace unto the rulers. What made them mad was the fact that she had a change, and they knew it was going to impact them, and it was going to mess up their income and what they were doing. And that's what they were living for, was for this life and the right now. And so they were upset at these two men of God that were simply preaching the gospel and causing changes. So they cast them into prison. And we don't know much about that in America yet. We may someday know something about it. I don't know. They're getting pretty close to some of those things now. But we don't know much about the persecution like Paul and Silas went through. I was talking to Brother Abdul Latif recently, and we were talking about his brother-in-law who was murdered, who was killed by the Muslims, the radical Muslims, because he converted to Christianity, and that not so long ago. You and I don't know what it is to pay the price like we should to really serve the Lord Jesus Christ. But there are some lessons that God has for us in this occasion that God allowed and led them into. And so Paul and Silas were there giving a testimony in the midnight hour to the grace and power of Almighty God. Some of you today are going through the midnight hour. Some of you are going through some trials. If not, it may be tomorrow. Some of you are just coming out. Someone has said that we're either just coming out of a trial or we're either getting ready to go into a trial. And that's sort of been my experience as a believer ever since I've known Jesus Christ as my Savior. But I can tell you, in the trials, in the midnight hours of your life, you can count on the fact that God is there and God's going to see you through it if you'll have the right faith and the right attitude for those times. They were cast into prison, and yet they had a glowing, burning testimony in the midst of their trial for the glory of God. H.G. Spafford comes to my mind. H.G. Spafford, his wife and family were sent over by way of an ocean liner, and that ocean liner went down, and he lost four of his children. And his wife, of course, was saved, but she sent a message back, and the message said this: saved alone. Saved alone. The four children died, and many others. H.G. Spafford, the songwriter, got on a ship, and as he was going over to see his wife, he had calculated and knew about where they were going to be and where those children drowned. And as they went through that time, he penned the words to the beautiful song that you and I know, "It Is Well With My Soul." Isn't that a great testimony to a man who lost four children in a terrible tragedy, and yet he could sing, "It Is Well With My Soul"? How many times has that song comforted me and comforted you as we would sing, "It Is Well With My Soul"? That was born out of great tribulation and great trial. So what did Paul and Silas do? Look at it while they were going through this. Keep in mind now, they were beaten. They were thrust into the prison. They were treated horribly. Now, they were not enjoying that. They didn't have celebrity status. We have a federal prison up here on the hill behind us. Some of you may be aware of it, and some of you not, but a lot of people who are there have celebrity status. It's sort of the place where you get special treatment because you're somebody special in society. But they didn't have that. They were abused and mistreated. So how would you react? How should we react in a time of testing in trial like that? Well, look at what they did first. And at midnight, Paul and Silas did what? They prayed. At midnight, during the time of their trouble, they prayed. That's what you and I need to do. Philippians 4, 6, and 7 says, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ." He told us a lot in those verses, but one thing he said was pray. Don't worry about things, but pray. What do you choose to do when you're going through trials? Worry about it or bring it to God in prayer? Do you know the first thing you should do is always go to God in prayer? A lot of times we wait till we're in the midst of all of the problems and then we decide it's time to pray. I tell you, the time to pray is as you're going into it. Go to God in prayer, seek His face. That's the right time. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known unto God. Thank God they had the knowledge of what was best to do, and that was to first pray and go to God in prayer. When you're going through your midnight of restlessness, the thing to do is pray. Don't worry all night long and toss and turn in the bed. Take your burden to the Lord in prayer and leave that burden with God and turn over the trial and the difficulty to Him. Who did they pray for? Well, we don't have time to go back to all these verses, but one, they prayed for their enemies. Do you have any enemies? I've been pastoring all these years. I've never had any enemies. And all of the time of preaching the Word of God, most of us have enemies. What do you do with the enemies? Well, the Baptist thing to do is get even with them. Amen? The Baptist thing to do is kill them if you can. And we're supposed to kill them with kindness. I had a missionary, a former missionary, that worked for me. And I said, "Now, Brother Rathley, you've got to kill them with kindness." He said, "I think I can kill them, but I don't think it's going to be with kindness." But we need to pray for our enemies. Amen? Go to God in prayer. You have some problems? He prayed for the multitudes. Verse 22 says, "And the multitude rose up against them." What did they do? They prayed for them. That's what we should do. By the way, the Muslim people, we need to pray for them. We perceive that some of them are our enemy, and rightfully so, because the radical Muslims are. And they would like to destroy us. But there are many of them for whom Christ died that we need to pray for, that those multitudes would come to Jesus Christ, that they'd be saved. And to witness to them. Brother Abdul Talif here today, what a burden he has for his own people, that they like him come to Jesus Christ. Pray for your enemies. Pray for the multitude. And I believe they prayed for the jailer. Prayed probably that he would get saved. Pray that God would use the circumstances for his honor and for his glory. You have a wayward child today? Let me tell you what to do with that wayward child. Get on your knees, take him to God in prayer. And don't quit praying. Just keep praying and keep praying and keep praying. When we were back in Connersville, I had my previous church, I had some folks come up to me and I had some good things, some good stories and some sad stories. And I had some people telling me about the rebellion of their children. They were just little tykes when I left there. Now they're teenagers. And they're out of God's will. They're fighting their parents. They've gotten away from God. What do you tell people like that to do? Just keep on trusting God. Don't ever give up. Keep on praying. I believe in the power of prayer. How about you? And I believe you say, "Well, I have no control over them anymore." Oh, yes, you do. You have control over them through the power of prayer. You have a wayward child. Keep on praying. Sooner or later, by the grace of God, they'll come back into fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ or get saved, whatever it is that they need. Pray for them. Some of our dear ladies here, I see today, and your husbands are not with you. Some of them are lost. Some of them are backslidden. They're out of God's will. Now, let me tell you something. I admire you for coming on to church. Imagine some of you get a little harassment before you come and a little harassment after you get home. A lot of us don't know anything about that. But what are you going to do with a rebellious husband? Maybe you got married before you got saved, and you married an unsaved man, and he's not saved. Just keep on praying for him. That's your trial. That's your midnight. That's your problem. Don't you give up. God's going to work, and God will work, and God will bring circumstances in his life that he might come to Christ or get his life right with God. Remember, God's patient. The wheels of justice roll rather slowly in God's economy, but believe me, they roll surely and truthfully. They're going to come. And somewhere along the way, God's going to deal with them and break them down. And I believe they'll get their hearts right with God. Keep on praying for that lost wife or that lost husband or that child. Go to God in prayer. You have an illness. Did the doctor come in and tell you about a terrible illness you have? What are you going to do at a time like that? You take it to God in prayer. And if it's God's will, he'll heal you. By the way, God always heals, doesn't he? It may not be down here, but if you're saved and he doesn't heal you here, he'll take you to heaven and you'll be well the moment you leave that body. God always heals. It may not be his will to heal you here, but if there's any opportunity for healing, it will be the result of prayer. You say, preacher, have you ever seen that happen? Have you ever seen anybody healed because of prayer? Oh, yes, I have. I've walked into the emergency room and had the neurosurgeon come in and say, I'm glad you're here, Reverend, because they won't last through the night. And I'm glad you're with a family. Then I've had the family say, Pastor, let's go down, or I've suggested, let's go down to the chapel or find some place of prayer. And we got on our knees before Almighty God and went to prayer, and maybe went in where those people were and had prayer with them, and that type thing, only to see that God raised them up. I mean, I've seen it a number of times where they in terrible accidents, and it looked like they were not going to make it, and the doctor said, they'll never make it, and if they do make it, there'll be vegetables, their brain will be messed up. But I've seen them walk through the doors of this church and stand right here and give testimony to the glory of God because God answered prayer. We just need to learn to pray. And pray in the midnight hour, and God can use it. I don't know what you're going through today, but I can tell you one of the best things you can do is pray. And maybe even today at the end of the service, come to this altar and get on your knees before God and not be too proud to come and pray and beseech him and get a hold of God for whatever you're going through today. Well, secondly, not only did they pray, but look what else they did. And they sang praises unto God. Can you imagine that? Here they are in jail, in prison, being abused and mistreated. And there was no reason, really, they were lied about. There was really no reason for them to be in prison whatsoever. But here they are, and what do? First they pray, and then they begin to praise God. Well, that's a good thing to do when we're going through troubles. I don't know what they were singing. I think they were singing songs, maybe from the Psalms, I don't know. Maybe it was one of the psalms that they were singing from that said this. This is a beautiful psalm. Now know I that the Lord saveth his anointed. He will hear him from his holy heaven and the saving strength of his right hand. Maybe that was a verse they sang out of that psalm. Maybe it was a verse like this. Unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. O my God, I trust in thee. Let me not be ashamed. Let not mine enemies triumph over me. Maybe it was something like that. Maybe it was the Psalm of David where he said, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? I don't know what they were singing. We always say they were singing Amazing Grace, but it wasn't written back then. But they were singing something, weren't they? And probably a psalm, which was a custom that they had, but they were singing something positive. Something that glorified God. They were singing praises unto God. By the way, their focus was right too, wasn't it? They were focused on God. What does that tell us? It gives us evidence of their dedication. It gives us evidence of their devotion to Almighty God. Believe me, if they hadn't been sold out and dedicated and yielded to God, if they had not recognized and realized that every breath they took was for the purpose of glorifying God, they wouldn't have had this kind of devotion. They would have turned and run. They would have stopped and quit. God never has used a quitter. Don't quit, my dear friend. Keep on going. Get up and go on and on for the glory of God. And though they had trials and difficulties, they showed their dedication and their devotion to Almighty God. And I think they also were showing their discernment. What do you mean their discernment? They knew that God was in control. How many of you believe today God's in control of everything? Say amen.
Amen.
How many of you believe He's actually in control of your life as an individual? Say amen.
Amen.
Then they realized the very same thing. Paul knew that God was in control. Who led them there? God. Through a vision, He allowed the Macedonian call, and they were there serving Almighty God. And God led them there, and He knew. I think they could say to each other, well, you know, the Lord called us, and I believe we're in His will. And since He called us and we're in His will, we can have peace. Now, let me tell you something. If you're out of God's will, you're not going to have any peace. If you've got sin in your life and you're living a sinful lifestyle, you're away from God. Nobody else may know it. God knows it, my dear friend. Maybe you're fooling with pornography, or maybe you're just about to enter into an affair, or you've already entered into it, or maybe you're fooling around with drugs or alcohol or some of those things. I don't know what it might be, but let me tell you something. You're not going to have any peace in your heart unless you're in God's will. You're just not going to have it. One of the sure things that God will show you if you're in His will, His perfect will, I believe God has a permissive will, but His perfect will is that there will be peace in your heart, even if you're in jail, for the glory of God. And I believe they had great peace right here. The Lord called us, and the will of God settles the matter. If this is God's will, and I don't question it, I accept it by faith, I pray, I sing praises to God, and accept whatever's coming down the pike for me. But none saith, where is God my maker, who giveth songs in the night? You know who's going to give you a song in the night? God. You just got to look for it. You've got to know that it's there. And there are some terrible situations. I mentioned the one where Brother Abdul Latif's brother-in-law was killed. I can think of others where I've seen Christians who have stayed true to the faith, and they've gone through trials like you wouldn't believe. I can remember, if I can be very personal about it, and I've shared this with some of you in the past, but I can remember the morning the phone rang at our house, and my mother answered the phone, and they told her that my 25-year-old brother had just been killed in a car accident. Let me tell you, friend, you need the grace of God during those times. You need the grace of God. Brother Gillett's brother and three others were on a trip serving from Crown College on their own and had an accident. One of those students was killed. What do you do during a time like that? What happens during a time like that? Friend, you have to believe if you're in God's will, God allowed it, and God has a purpose for whatever He allows in your life. Don't miss the difficult things in life that God allows to use for His honor and glory. How many times have I, as a pastor, gone to the hospital only to cheer someone up, to have them cheer me up, and to have them tell me about people that they've led to the Lord there in the hospital room, because God allowed that. I've known people who have had accidents, like a saw cutting some of their fingers off, and they went to the hospital and wondered why that happened and why God allowed it to happen, only to find out during the testing that they had cancer, and they caught it early enough because God allowed one thing to happen to find something far worse in order to protect them. That does happen. And I could give you, if I had time, a number of illustrations for that. But suffice it to say, Romans 8:28 is true. We know that all things work together for good. It didn't say everything's good, but it said all things. Even if you're cast in prison, in a situation like this, no matter what you're going through, all things work together for good to those who love the Lord. That is, to the saved people, to those who are called according to His purposes. Thank God we can know that that's true. The Bible says, yet the Lord will command His loving kindness in the daytime, and in the night His song shall be with me, and my prayer unto the God of my life, even at midnight. Some of you have gone through the tragedy of losing your mate. I look out and see widows and widowers. What a tough time that must be. I dread the prospect. I've told Carolyn she cannot die. I've got to die first because I can't live without her. I told her if she ever leaves me, I'll just follow her. Amen. But if she ever, I cannot imagine going through that. Just can't imagine. But yet God is there and God allows it. And what we need to do is give Him praise anyway. Now let's look at the last thing, verse 25, the last part of the verse. At midnight, Paul and Silas did what? Prayed. Second, sang praises unto God. At midnight. At midnight. Underscore those words. Underline them. At midnight. And the prisoners heard them. That's the third thing. The prisoners heard them. I simply say, thirdly, we need to preach. Amen. In all of our trials and all of our troubles, we need to tell others about Christ. I remember a dear lady whose husband was on the way to work. He felt sick, went back, went to his house, got out of his truck, went in his home, laid down on his bed, and died that morning. I remember seeing her at the funeral home. Very young guy, a relatively speaking young man. And why did God allow that to happen? I don't know. But I know that as she stood there and greeted the people, one after another, and you know, in a tragedy, more people show up at the funeral home when there's been a tragedy, generally speaking. And I heard her ask one after another as they came through the line, do you know Jesus Christ as your Savior? Are you born again? Are you ready to meet God? I remember burying three little boys one time. They came through our bus ministry. And on a Saturday, they were out looking for them. They didn't know the parents had gone to town. They were supposed to go with another group that was working with some children. And somehow the bus broke down. They didn't get there. And those children went out on their bicycles on a pond during the winter on ice. The only thing was it had not iced over thick enough. And so one boy rode another boy, and on his bicycle they doubled up and went through the ice. And then another boy, about 13, they were all in that age category, tried to go and help him, and he went under the ice and they couldn't get back up and they drowned. And nobody knew where they were for a long time. Three boys. Why did God allow that? You say, well, I don't know why in the world God would allow that. Friend, let me tell you, there were scores of people who got saved because of that. I'll never forget preaching the funeral with three caskets right down in front of the pulpit. Young boys, a lot of weeping, a lot of crying, a lot of heartache, and no doubt some questions. But let me tell you, God used it, and many people came to the Lord Jesus Christ because of it. I remember a lady who was a member, a part of my soul winning team. We had three that would go out, so if a woman was there by herself, then she would not feel uncomfortable. So we had usually two men and a woman, or two women and a man, generally two men and a woman. This woman I'd led to Christ, she was a Roman Catholic background. She got saved. She wanted to win others to Christ. She became part of the soul winning team. She went out with me and another big, tall Marine, and he was a soul winner. And so we led a lot of people to Christ, and all of a sudden one day they called me and said, Pat's in the hospital, she has pneumonia. And so we prayed for Pat. God's will was done. She went back home. They had to rush her back to the hospital. They called me about 5 or 6 o'clock in the morning and said, preacher, you got to get to the hospital. We don't think Pat's going to live. They had to rush her back. I went to the hospital, and by the time I got there, Pat had died. She had three children, and she passed away. Why did God allow that? And I'll be honest with you, I was sort of devastated. Part of our soul-winning team, such a dedicated Christian, saved from that religious background. And I wondered, God, why? But at last count, there were some 33 people that got saved. And she was praying for her 100-year-old mother, who was in her 90s, almost 100 years of age. She had been praying that her mother would get saved, and she'd weep and pray when we'd pray before we'd go out, God, please save my mama. I will never forget the Sunday. We had about 10 or 12 saved, and a lot of them, because of that, walked down that aisle. It was her mother. And I said, you're Pat's mother, aren't you? She said, I am. I said, you've come to get saved, haven't you? She said, I have. and she gloriously came to Jesus Christ. And 30-something before I lost count of it, and others in different places got saved, came to Christ. And many of them were relatives that she was praying for. Friend, I'm telling you, there are no accidents with Almighty God. What we need to do, and by the way, her husband got saved too, had the privilege of leading him to the Lord Jesus Christ. When we're going through those trials and troubles, let's preach. When we're going through the difficulties, don't complain and bellyache and gripe and whimper and do all of those things. Praise the Lord and pray to God and tell other people how to get saved, and let them recognize that you're not bitter against God and you believe God wants to use that in your life. You see, many times God is giving us a platform to preach the unsearchable riches of God so that others can see that God is real. How real is your God today? How real is my God? I believe we can always have a song and a night if we want it. Are you going through trials? Are you having problems? Are you having some mountains you can't get over and some places you can't tunnel through and all of that? Friend, bring it to God in prayer. Get a song of praise in your heart, even though you don't understand it. Just back off and say, God, I don't understand it, but I praise you anyway. I give you honor and I give you glory for what has happened in my life and what is going on in my life. But God, I want you to use it for your honor and for your glory. Listen to me, friend. Some of you are here and you don't know Christ as your Savior. Please don't wait until it takes something like this to bring you to Jesus Christ. Loved ones are praying for you. Maybe it's a mom and dad. Maybe it's a wife or a husband, a relative. Why don't you come on today and receive Jesus Christ? That's what the jailer did. What a glorious day. Here he was, an enemy of the gospel. But they, with the right attitude, with a victorious heart, giving praises to God, they were able to tell him how to be saved. And there was no other way for him to go to heaven. Absolutely no other way. And they cared for him. They said, don't kill yourself. Most Baptists would say, help yourself. The way you treated us, you ought to kill yourself. No. They wanted to see them get saved. And so they said, don't do yourself no harm. And then they brought them out, verse 30, and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? He said, I want what you've got. I'll tell you, some people don't want some of the lemonade some Christians have, amen? They want to see God is real in our lives. They want to back up and say, man, if they can go through that, if they can go through those trials and have faith and still praise God and still tell others how to be saved, then that's what I want. And that jailer, and by the way, his whole house was saved, not because he was saved, but he said he told them the very same thing. They all got saved. What an open door to tell them how to be saved. And so we had the church at Philippi. Amen? And thank God for the fact that God can use it. If we'll just let go and have a song and praise and a prayer in the nighttime, God will use it for His glory. Let's stand, please. While our heads are bowed, may I say to you in love, my dear friend, the only way you can get to heaven is like the jailer did, this Philippian jailer. How's that, preacher? He admitted he was lost. He believed that Jesus died for his sins. That's what Paul and Silas were preaching. That's what changed that woman. That's what was upsetting the apple cart in their society. Bring your trials and problems. Some are already coming and you can come. Bring your midnight hour to Jesus today. Bring it before it ever comes. Bring it to God and give Him praise. But bring yourself first and get saved. Father, there are some here that are lost. I pray today they would come to Jesus. I pray, dear Lord, that perhaps something you've been allowing in their lives that they don't understand might make them understand today that the reason you've allowed it is to bring them to this place. Bring them to the place that they'll be saved. I pray for every unsaved person here today. Oh God, deal with their hearts. Draw them by your Spirit that they might come to Christ and be gloriously saved like this jailer and his family. And then, Father, some are going through trials and have gone through them. Some have had things happen they don't understand, things that they're going through right now. It's hard to understand. Help them to bring them to you today. God, give us praise. Give us a song in the night. Help us to give you glory for it all and to have a great testimony and to have peace in our hearts because we're in your will. If there's anyone here today out of your will, God, help them to come and get that peace. In Jesus' name, amen.